All right, ladies. Well, we have our panel here. This is just a sneak peek. We're going to be doing a bunch of word shops, okay? We don't do workshops here. We do word shops, all right? Planted on the word. We're built on the word. By faith, we have faith by the word. So these ladies are just a sneak peek. We have more that couldn't be here. But we're just going to kind of get to know them, even though you probably know them because they preach all the time. But we're just going to ask them just a couple different questions and just kind of interview them for a little bit and get to know them. So my first question is to some of the married ladies. And then we're going to be passing the mic around. But the first one is this. Pastor Sue, Pastor Eleanor, Dr. V, and Pastor Deborah. So all of you ladies, I noticed as I was reading your bios on the back of the magazine that you all have been married 25 years or more, right? So doesn't that deserve some applause right there? What good examples. So my question to you is, what's one thing, just I know there's many things, but tell us one thing that keeps your marriage flourishing. I mean, 25 years or more, you know? So just one thing. We can pass. Anybody want to go first? They don't give me eye contact. Hello?
I'll say, I would say in our marriage, it's just that we are such good friends. I don't know, we talk all the time. We are best friends. And recently my husband, that's what he said that he loves most about me, is that I'm such a good listener. I know other people might not know that side of me, but I really can listen. I'm good at listening. Anyway, so we're good friends. We do things together all the time.
All right.
We have one car. We come to work together.
That's good.
We're in ministry. We go home together. We're always together.
Dr. V, what about you?
I think it is learning to not sweat the small things. I think like the first year or so of marriage and you're like, you know, you left the toilet seat up, your socks are in the floor, this and this. And then as the years go by, you're like, that doesn't really matter. You know, I just counseled a couple and they were like, that's why they were getting divorced. He never takes me anywhere. The toilet seat's always up. The socks are on the floor. I'm like, I've been married 28 years. That doesn't change. You got to find something else to fight. So don't sweat the small things.
That's good. That's really good. Does anybody think men wear like an abnormal amount of socks? Like there's 7 days in a week. How come there's so many socks? Like that's how I feel.
Well, for Jim and I, we've had so many experiences with walking by faith because I'm married to a man that likes to jump off the cliff of faith continually and take me with him whether I want to go or not. So when we taught the marriage seminar on the four commandments for the wife and the eight commandments for the husbands, God says that we're to reverence our husbands and we're to do all that reverence includes. We're to adore them, esteem them, love them, prize them, be devoted to them, and enjoy them. Enjoy them. And I think one of the things for me, when the going gets tough sometimes, when we are not necessarily in agreement, does anybody have a husband that you're not always in agreement with? Well, I'm married to a really, really strong-willed man, and he married a really strong-willed woman. And probably in the natural, we wouldn't have been together. But because, first of all, we came under the authority of God's word. And so when we don't agree, we come under God's authority and commit to love each other, whether we see it the same way or not. Because male and female sometimes, or just family differences and personalities, are going to see things differently. So if you agree to disagree in love, it's okay, as long as I follow. And the other thing is just to enjoy your husband. I mean, I think sometimes we take things way too seriously. And we miss out on the moments of just life. Just, you know, sometimes I'll look at Jim and I'll just see how he loves God and just the crinkles on the back of his eyes and the tears that'll run down and I'll just think, oh God, I love his heart so much. And just the moments that we capture together, well, he'll just grab my hand. And girls, enjoy your husbands. They're not ever going to be as perfect as Jesus. They're men and they're on a journey as we are to become like Jesus. But if we'll enjoy them and adore them and prize them, Look for the good. Don't look for what's wrong. Look for what's right. And you will always have a moment of laughter and goodness in every day.
That's awesome. I guess if I can say one thing to those of you who are married that has meant a lot to me, that I've had to learn, that God had to teach me from early years of being married, was is to choose to love. Because we talk a lot to those of you who are married and you are just not feeling it. When you get married, you do not feel and then do. Before you are married, you go by that. You feel and you do, right? When you get married, you do and then you feel. So you just have to do in faith, because I can assure you, and I know they will agree, if you just do love the man like God loves him, let God love him through you. Now, I am crazy about my husband, but there are times that we do not agree. And then I am still to love him. So I choose, even if I don't feel it, to love, because then you do reap the benefits of it. And then, of course, the moments. Life consists out of moments. If men have the capacity to get in a moment very easily, because they have boxes in their brain. Pastor Debbie taught us, remember, the boxes. So a man gets in a moment, he's in that moment, and then nothing else seemed to bother him. Have you noticed that? We have a hard time with that. So train yourself, discipline yourself, tell yourself, I'm in this moment, I'm in the moment. Don't worry about what he said yesterday or what he did last week. Just get in the moment, because life is remembered. When you get as older, as some of us are, you remember life by moments. So just grab the moments and enjoy it. So, giving you a taste here today of what is waiting during the word shops. We are no longer calling it workshops, but these are the summer word shops. So it doesn't matter what you're going to do, you're going to get the word. And we have many different things. We have show and tell, a whole class that you can go. That's going to be demonstrations about different things. And they are going to be things about raising kids, about having parties, about getting closer to God. But let me take this moment then, the three of our amazing women that haven't said anything yet. Let me ask you something. You have young families in the home. We want to know, what is your passion in life? What makes you go? What is the passion in your heart? If you can remember, when you have little kids, like, give them a moment to think about it. Just tell us, what makes you go? What is your passion in life? And how does that affect you being a young mom and so busy? Because we know you juggle. If you can give any advice, passion versus duty as a mom, how do you juggle that? Maybe just a short explanation on that. You can start on that side.
Okay, well, I know for me, like, yes, life is so busy, you know, and with little ones, you know, even yesterday, you know, I'm sending emails, you know, for service last night and today, and I'm trying to make sure, you know, Bella and Carter don't, you know, wrestle themselves to the tile floor, you know, and all, you know, Carter is, you know, eating sand, and I'm like, oh, great, that'll be fun tomorrow, you know, and so life is really busy, but I think I have to, if I keep Jesus my focus, then everything will be mature and healthy. Because when it gets off focus, when it's just about work, or if it's just about kids, then things can tend to get off balance. And if I keep it about Jesus, well, if I'm serving Jesus, then I need to be the best mom, because I answer to Jesus. You know, and if I'm a pastor, then I answer to Jesus about the pastoral stuff. I have to remember that. You know, I'm going to be held accountable for those things, because sometimes work can take over, and you can't let that. You have to be mom at home and stay mom. You have to be wife with your husband. You have to, you know, have fun with your husband. And, you know, I want to see God grow this church and kids' lives be transformed. And so when I'm here. And I know Pastor Jessica has, you know, we've kind of talked about it. When we're at home, we're at home. When we're at church, we're at church. And we just are there in the moment. And we're going to be the best we can be then. So that's what I'd have to say.
Can you hear me? I have a quiet voice. I think one of my passions, maybe my biggest one, is just that people would know God and just just connect with him. To know him is to love him. And just to be with him, you know, is just so incredibly life-changing. And so with my kids, I feel the same way. It's like I just want them to get to know God and just to really have that moment where there's just this encounter where they're like, wow, he's real. And they begin to awaken to the understanding of how much he loves them, the destiny that he has for them. So that's my passion. You know, it's like, I just can't wait until my kids, like I can't wait till my 7-year-old goes to camp because I know they have an encounter with the Lord there. They get filled with the Holy Spirit. I am just like, I see him awakening to God and having that relationship with him and just getting to know him. And it's just so beautiful. I can't wait to see each one of my kids grow in that area and God to be really real to them, you know. And being on the worship team, that's one of my passions. It's just like I want God's presence to come and for people to just see, wow, God is so real. He's here and he loves me. And that has been the things that have completely changed my life. And so so I'm really excited to have that happen in my kids' life, and I'm trying to facilitate that, you know, just have times of prayer together. I'm not saying I'm the best person. You guys have amazing ways of just connecting your kids to God. And so that's my passion. And then, there, like you said, there's the duties. It's like, okay, brush your teeth, eat healthy, and all that stuff. And I'm just trying to... trying to do the duty thing and yet remember, like, my passion is that they would know the Lord and just walk hand in hand with him the rest of their life. So that's me.
I always have to follow the nice girl. So me, I'm not as nice as that. I actually am really rough around the edges. And so God had asked me to take a break from being in the office here at the church constantly, because my passion is this church. I am like the person that if I see you drop a piece of trash on the ground, I have to like hold everything in me to be like, take care of this place. So that is how I am. But I have, it's funny that you guys asked this question, because yesterday I was sick. I sound really loud. Can you guys turn me down? I got sick, and you know when mama's down, nothing gets done. So my husband is amazing. He at least got the kids changed and fed, and I was grateful. But now I had to clean up the house. So yesterday was like the day of like piles of million loads of laundry, dishes, all of it. And I'm telling you, and then I had one kid that acted like she was sick, and so I'm going, great, you know. And Dan's gone, and I'm like, this is just so, I remember when I was at the church and I just loved being there and didn't do the stupid laundry. And I'm like, in a way, I'm complaining and I'm saying to the Lord, this is, how can you be passionate about this? Like, and I was getting irritated with the everyday, you called them duties, I call them routines, because I am not a boring person. That I hate routines. It's like boring. So I sat there and I'm doing the laundry, and the Lord spoke to me and said, if you do it for me, it won't be so annoying. And I'm like, yeah, you're right. Okay, Lord, this load of laundry's for you, so that my kids know that I love you and that they're loved. And I had to seriously pray myself into being passionate about whatever situation I was in. And then the Lord spoke to me and he said, you need to be passionate with whatever I've given you for the season that I've given you to do it. So remember, it's for a season. And your passions are going to change. And those dreams that, you know, we so long to be with those dreams that God has given us, but at the same time, they're going to be there later on. God knows the time and the season for that. And so my advice and my passion is to be in your moment and to find God in it, like Michelle said, because it was our theme when I was working. Be 100% at work when you're at work and be 100% at home when you're home, because you will feel like a loser mom if you are mostly at work and not a lot at home. It's not the time, but it's the quality that is given. So just be where you're at and enjoy it. And find the passion, and even if it's laundry, those stinking socks, Michelle. So that's my passion now, is just to serve my kids' house, my husband's home. So
it's good.
I just want to ask the young moms, do you guys know, do you remember when you had the dream? Oh, if I could just get married, if I could just have a husband and children. Did anybody have that dream? So there's the ideal and there's the real. And between the ideal and the real is the journey of faith. Because it's always different than what you thought it was going to be. So, no, you never dreamed about work or the socks that are, you know, that are escaping from the dryer, and they've got condominiums behind the dryer, and there's a whole community of escape
they're
socks.
They're having a party.
Yeah, they're having a party. But, you know, Jim, my husband said something to one of our kids, and they were under a lot of pressure. And he said this to them, and I thought it was so brilliant. He said, listen, you're under pressure, and you're always going to have pressure in life. It doesn't matter what stage you're in or what you're doing. There will be stress, and there will be pressure in your life. If you look at your pressure and your stress and your situation, it's always going to be bigger than it really is. If you'll look at somebody else that's a lot worse off than you are, and then look at your life again, it's going to switch your focus off of your pressure, and it'll go from being a complainer to being grateful and thankful. And he says it'll change everything. And I just thought that was such a good, just a good little thing to do every day. When you want to get under that pressure, girls, you want to get under that load, there's always somebody somewhere that's got it a lot worse than you. And if you'll just remember how good you really got it, stop looking at what's wrong but what's right. It's going to change the pressure. It'll lift, and instead of being bummed out like you just, you'll do it under the Lord, and it'll be a good. The reality will actually become wonderful, because that's what God wants.
That's good. Very good. The ideal and the real. I remember I thought, oh, it'd be so cute to have twins. Yeah. Does anybody have twins? All right, we are in awe of you. Okay, real quick, I actually found something. I found out what they're teaching at Men's Breakfast. They have some information about us. I have to share it with you. This is what it's titled, 9 Deadly Words Used by a Woman. They found out, ladies. So let's read through them. Number 1, fine. Have we ever said fine? This is what they said. This is the word women use to end an argument when they are right and you need to be quiet. Number 2, 5 minutes. Just 5 minutes. If she's getting dressed, this means half an hour. 5 minutes is only 5 minutes if you have been given 5 more minutes to watch the game before helping around the house. Number 3, nothing. Nothing. This is the calm before the storm. This means something, and you should be on your toes. Arguments that begin with nothing usually end in fine. Number 4, go ahead. This is a dare, not permission. Don't do it. Number 5, loud sigh. Shall we all rehearse that one? This is actually a word, but is a nonverbal statement often misunderstood by men. A loud sigh means she thinks you are an idiot and wonders why she's wasting her time standing here arguing with you about nothing. Refer back to number 3 for the meaning of nothing. Number 6, that's okay. This is one of the most dangerous statements a woman can make to a man. That's okay means she wants to think long and hard before deciding how and when she will pay you for your mistake. Number 7, thanks. A woman is thanking you. Do not question or faint. Just say you're welcome. I want to add a clause here. This is true unless she says thanks a lot. That is pure sarcasm. She is not thanking you at all. Do not say you're welcome. That will bring on whatever. Number 8, whatever. This is a woman's way of saying profanity. Number 9, the last one. Don't worry about it. I got it. Another dangerous statement, meaning this is something that a woman has told a man to do several times, but is now doing herself. This will later result in a man asking what's wrong. For the woman's response, refer to number 3, nothing. That's it. So.
Somebody has to publish that, and they have to teach that to men before they get married, so that they would know. We have not introduced every single person on stage here. How many of you can tell us there's somebody you're not sure who they are up here? How many of you do not know everybody up here? Not too many of you, but we'll introduce in a bit. I wanted to ask Dr. V something, and this way I can just introduce her. Dr. Vanessa Reynolds is a medical doctor. She's been a physician, emergency room physician for many years. She is amazing. She's a mom and a missionary. She's been to the Philippines, to Africa, with lots of peanut butter in her suitcase and stuff. Tuna fish. Packing tuna fish when she goes to Africa. Anyway, she's amazing, and she has a message for women, and she's going to be teaching some of these sessions. But I was thinking, some of you in here, for our girls that are working during the day, or you have a business, or you are out there in the professional world, not, working amongst believers, and many of you have families that are not believers, but let's take a quick look at the professional world out there. Dr. V, if you can give some tip or encouragement for women who go out there and they have to do their job, they have to act professional, they have to perform and produce and still be a godly woman, is there something that you want to tell them?
I wish I had known these questions beforehand. I think just stay in the Word and to try to love others the way God loves them, to see them the way God sees them. Because otherwise, they'll bring you down, and you'll wind up doing the same thing that they do. I mean, it's a rough world out there, in the workplace. You come in contact with all kinds of people. But, usually the things that you find, that anger you about those people, it's the enemy. And so if you stay godly-minded and you don't allow yourself to be brought down to their level, and you just try to look at them as, they need Christ, maybe they had a hard day. Half the time when people are angry, you don't even know what they're going through. They could have just lost a loved one. They could be going through a divorce or losing their home or whatever. And so I really have to work on loving them with the love of Christ. And I think that's what gets you through.
That's awesome. And, most of the women here are career women in that this is what we do. And one person standing out, those of you who do not know, our own Pastor Deborah, senior pastor with Pastor Jim Cobray at this church, started this church 23 years ago. You have also raised your children, and you've been in the church. You've been very involved. You've juggled. And I have a question that goes along with that also. Pastor Jim and Debbie, they also venture out in the business world. They do ministry here, but they are out there in the business world doing things, meeting people that are not saved. And you deal with them also besides the things of the church. What is your greatest challenge when you get out there amongst the unsaved in the business world that you could give some tips to some of the women?
I think that the greatest challenge is that in the secular world, people don't have a concept of the goodness of God, or that God is the God of the impossible. And so you come up with people that have no faith, and they don't believe in God. And so as pastors and business people, our job is to be all things to all men. That's what Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 8. He said, I am to the Gentiles a Gentile, to the Jews I'm a Jew. He circumcised Timothy so that Timothy could go to a synagogue. And Timothy was a Greek. His mother was a Jew and his father was a Greek. And so they went to great lengths in their culture in the early century, the first century church, to be all things to all men. Which, what does that translate to you and I? That means that when I'm with the church, the house of God, I'm with the family. And when I'm with the people that aren't saved, that I represent Jesus Christ, and it's extremely important that I represent my King well. And so I think the rule that Jim and I have lived by, we have it on the community garden out there. It's just a little poster, but it's Matthew chapter 7, verse 12. Or is it Matthew 12, 7? I always get the address. You know, I'm a little dyslexic. But it's do unto others what you would have others do unto you. And the Message Bible says, what you want someone to do to you, grab the initiative and do it first for them. And, you know, just if you just think about that, just piece of wisdom from Jesus, from heaven, a tip from heaven on how to live with humanity, whether it's the church that's making you crazy, the family, or whether it's the secular world that's making you even more crazy, or whether they're just delightful. I think if we'll grab the initiative, how would I want to be treated? How would I want someone to treat me? How would I want to be represented? What would I want? How would I want you to think of me? Grab the initiative and do it to them first. And when we do that, we reap what we sow, and we begin to bring the kingdom everywhere we go. And we're just little kingdom people, just, you know, dropping the kingdom of God wherever we go, wherever our feet go, there's the kingdom of God. If we'll just simply do, this isn't rocket science. God made it so simple, a child could understand it. And I think if we'll just do those things, then the specific things that we're asking God for, they'll come. But first, we've got to just do the really simple things. So Matthew 7:12. Thank you.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Pastor Michelle, let me introduce to you those of you who do not know amazing Pastor Michelle right here. She is a really fruit of this house. She grew up here in the children's ministry, in the youth ministry, an internship. She met her husband. She got married, and she is now pastoring the youth of The Rock with her husband, Pastor Richard. Yes, and we are just so proud of her, and she's got such cute shoes on today. Did you all see?
I know. What did? And I'm the only one that didn't get a chair.
No, look, she's,
I got my heels.
We were sharing the chair. You can come.
Oh yeah, yeah. That's okay, Eleanor. I'm good.
Anyway, and she can tell us just quickly about her kids. She's got two babies.
I have two babies. I have Isabella. She's 3, and she's a little fireball. She is, you know, probably going to preach about Jesus all over the world because she just. Talked since she was 9 months old. And then I have Carter, who just, you know, he loves his mom a lot. Pastor Sue would say he's just, you know, Carter. There's no one like Carter in the children's ministry. Wink, wink. All the new workers, they get initiated by him. He's just a crier. But not when he's with mommy. But I love my kids. It's fun. It's been a interesting adjustment, you know, just like Pastor Jess and Tracy and all of us, you know, going from work to home. But it is so much fun, and they're just great.
We have been honored to watch you transition from newlywed and in love and no issues, except the husband, to turning into a mom and still juggling because she has ministry in her heart. So if you want to introduce maybe some of the others.
Yes, well, this is Tracy Ogando, and her and her husband pastor the Spanish ministry, La Roca. So Tracy, I know, so exciting. They are just busting out of the walls here on Sunday mornings. They have, tell us about what's going on in Spanish ministry.
You know, people keep coming up to me and saying, we prayed for the Spanish ministry for years before it ever came to be. Is there anyone here who prayed for the Spanish ministry for years before it ever came to be? Okay, nobody here. Okay, it's okay. I know we are reaping the prayers of people who were here long before us. There's just no doubt in my heart. And I just, if I could just give a big thank you to the people who sowed in tears what we are reaping in joy. Truly. That's all I can come up with, is that somebody prayed this in, because it's just... like a newborn baby just growing, and you're like, whoa. So God is good.
I'm saving Pastor Michelle's feet.
Thanks, Jess. You're so sweet. You always give of others. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Actually, we have somebody in the audience I want to introduce, Sarah Guevara. Sarah, will you stand on up? I want to introduce her. You ladies may know her. Her and her husband serve in the youth ministry, but her and her friend Christina, who I don't think she's here, but they're preachers in the youth, and they are our health nuts. And they are just really into being healthy, which is good because obesity is rampaging America and all kinds of stuff. And it's good for us to be reminded and motivated towards health and eating well. And so, Sarah, I wanted you to tell us real quick. In the magazine, we have some ideas about picnics and stuff. Yeah, you can come on up here. And I just wanted you to share with us real quick a health, just a real, you know, small, healthy picnic. What does a healthy picnic lunch look like?
Okay, well, I didn't pack a healthy picnic today. Let me just say that.
So don't look at our lunch.
I was late, and it was like whatever I could find. But I wrote it on my phone, so I'll just get it. One thing I like to do is make my own popcorn. So it's like old-fashioned. You remember if your parents used to put the oil in the pan and put the corn. So I do that, and my kids love it. It's fun. I just use olive oil. I don't use butter and a little bit of salt. So that's really fun and easy for your kids. Something else that I was talking to my friend Drea, a really good idea. You know those Yogos that the on-the-go yogurts, and you just cut it, and
yeah,
the kids just walk around with it? Well, you can make those at home really easy. Just get little plastic baggies, you know, like the little sandwich baggies. Put your yogurt that's not sweetened in it. You can put fruit in there. You can put a little bit of like low sugar strawberry jelly, and you have like instant low sugar, maybe organic if you want to, strawberry yogurts, and you just cut off the ends of the baggie, and you know, the kids are just walking around with that, and that's like way cheaper than buying them at the store. And then one thing, you're going to think I'm crazy, but it's really good, I promise. One thing that me and Christina do with our kids is we hide good things in their food. So they don't know, but we're putting, you know, spinach and things in their food, and they have no idea. So what we like to do is chop up spinach really finely, very finely, and we put it in their peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. They have no clue. I promise you, some of our friends have done it here, and they're like shocked that their kids just eat it, and they're getting spinach or kale. I know it sounds weird, but they can't tell, and it works really well. So that's, and it's fresh, yeah. So, and my kids are, no, fresh.
Not canned Popeye spinach.
Not, it's depleted of everything. So anyways, that's us. We have her blog, and yeah.
Good job. Thanks, Sarah. She'll be sharing some stuff this summer also.
So for the sake of time, we're getting ready to dismiss, and Pastor Debbie is going to just speak with you briefly, but I think we need to, is it okay to wrap up? You all know Pastor Sue, right? Pastor Sue is our senior children's pastor with her husband, Pastor Mike. Everybody knows Pastor Sue, right? And we've introduced everybody, and then Pastor Jessica back here. See, mom, daughter. Those of you who do not know,
honestly, I can't imagine you guys do not know Pastor Sue.
Maybe we have visitors.
Who does not know Pastor Sue? Just two of you, your visitors?
Maybe 10 people.
And Pastor 12. Jess, who does not know Pastor Jess?
Pastor Jess.
Because these are regular, our team. What I've done is God instructed me a long time ago is to raise up the women of this church, and these women speak at Girlfriends continually on a rotating basis. They're amazing teachers. They have amazing lives. Their lives speak as loudly as the words that God gives them. The only one that is somewhat new to the team is Tracy Orgondo. And Tracy lives in a different place. Have you found that out? She lives in a place, she's a worship leader, and she's actually cut albums. She was very well known in Mexico and Central America. She's a missionary kid born in Peru. Were you born in Peru? Yeah. So Spanish is your first language or simultaneous? So Tracy may look like a gringa, but she is actually Hispanic on the inside through and through with a beautiful heart. And I want to live where Tracy lives. Don't you? If you hear her sing, I would like to sing like Tracy sings. She opens her mouth, and so during her workshop, make sure that you make her sing some a cappella to you, okay, and lead you in a worship chorus, because God has put such a gracious and beautiful anointing on her and Pastor Paul. And Iglesia La Roca, let me see your hands. Where are you? Ah, welcome. We love you guys. You rock. So each one of these girls are going to contribute to some amazing workshops this summer. Just body, soul, and spirit. God cares about all of it, your body, your soul, and your spirit. So this summer, we're going to have fun. We're going to connect with our body, soul, and spirit. We're going to learn the word. We're going to learn the practical stuff of everyday living like Sarah and the gang with the kids, the little kids, the older women. We're going to look at all kinds of stuff. So don't miss these workshops. They're going to be incredible. And girls, thank you for being a part of Girlfriends and making it what it is, because you are incredible women of God. And we are honored to have you on the team here. And we love you. So off you go.